Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies. Y'all, today is a really important day. It is National Mature Women's Day. Correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, did you create this day?
Mm-hmm. We actually coined this day and registered it with the National Archives, National Day Archives. So now every year on April 9th, the National Mature Women's Day.
Love this. Industry trailblazer for so many reasons, this included. But y'all, we have Laura Geller here, and she needs absolutely no introduction. You know her products. We've been talking about her in the Slack. Y'all are using her products, have used her products for what? 2-3 decades at this point?
Yeah.
We're like, when was 1993? What was going on in 1993?
I know.
And we know that you opened your boutique in 1993 and then officially launched the brand in 1997, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right.
I mean, longevity, babes. They don't make them like Laura anymore. It's a hard feat to have.
Thank you for saying that. I will say I pinch myself and there's not a day that doesn't go by where I think, I can't believe the longevity this brand has had, but also I realize that there's so many people who may not have heard of Laura Geller. And so I feel this need to continue to spread the love and the word, the Laura Geller beauty word.
Totally. But you know what? Especially right now, and something that Sarah and I talk about a lot is just the overwhelming amount of new brands, products being launched. The fact that your brand still lives, thrives, and people still go back to it. You know, the repeat customer is so important. So we really do have to tip our hat.
Yes, tip our hat 1000%. But also all these brands that are launching still have yet to target middle-aged women. It's still an afterthought. And so you've been doing it for so long and, you know, putting these women as a priority. And so we are just so, so thrilled and so grateful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, should we ask you?
Of course.
Of course we have to ask you.
Go for it.
Laura, what is on your face? And you can include like skincare as well. We obviously know you're wearing Laura Geller, but we want to know like who else you're wearing, what you're loving right now.
You're absolutely right. It is Laura Geller. And if we don't have it, I make sure we make it. So I don't think I've used, honestly, anybody else's makeup in 27 years. I am not kidding.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, I'll maybe try something like, you know, people will say to me, for an example, my son's girlfriend, who's 24, will say, oh my God, did you ever see this? And look at this. You should do this. And then I'll think, did it? Been there. Done that.
Yeah.
Like what's old is new. And I already did that 20 years ago. And I'm not doing it again because I like to innovate, not imitate. And so yep. I truly feel like when you find your holy grail, whatever it is, whether it's complexion, lip, mascara, you really may try and venture out, but you stick with that holy grail because it finally worked. So for me, it's truly like, I'm not just saying this, like the baked makeup works on my face because it doesn't disappear. And all our products, most of the products are baked in Italy. And I have to tell you, in 1997, when I launched, well, no, it was more like 2000, when I launched my first baked product, I actually got so much mandate from the Geller gals out there, from fans saying, what else do you have that's baked? I'm like, nothing. It was just this one thing. What are you talking? Well, what else can you do in baked? And that's really how the baked was born, because people couldn't believe the difference, the point of difference.
So Laura, I do want to know though, like what are you using? Obviously full face of Laura Geller, but then what skincare are you really gravitating towards? And as somebody who's been in the industry for so long, I just want to know, like, what brands do you think are doing something cool? Like, you tip your hat to them.
Thank you for asking. It's such a good question, by the way. I love Elemis. Elemis, to me, is one of the most groundbreaking skincare brands. And boy, let me tell you, I get them all. They're all my colleagues. They're all my friends. In fact, this is hard when I'm asked that because I love something in everybody's line. Like for an example, Dr. Stuart Kaplan, who's a Beverly Hills dermatologist, he has something called Diamond Contour that I love. Joanna Vargas, she has a spa in Los Angeles and in New York, and she has skincare that is incredible. Her sheet masks are insane. And then she has this thing that you roll on top of the sheet mask. You know what I'm talking about. So for that, I'll use her. I think Peter Thomas Roth has one of the best hyaluronic acids, salicylic acids, retinoic acids. I also love for, you know, coverage Dermablend. I still think that it's really hard to find a good concealer that sticks to the skin. So often if I see that people really are having trouble with wanting to cover something that's really pesky for them and nothing covers, I'll say, get Dermablend. Just get Dermablend. So skincare, I'm not married to one, but those are my favorites that I mentioned to you, some of my favorites. And, you know, I always say, you know, if you have something you love in a mascara, in a lip, go for it. Don't change it. It works. And you don't have to try a million brands. Stop trying to keep thinking it's going to get better somewhere else.
I think that's a great piece of advice.
Totally. And Laura, you're mentioning obviously the fact that the makeup is baked and it helps to keep the makeup on your face. But is there anything you do specifically in your skincare routine to prep your skin for makeup?
Well, I personally will tell you as a makeup artist, when it comes to prepping the skin for makeup, I'm going to tell you, don't do anything. How about that? Your skincare for me, I mean, listen, I'm friends with dermatologists and plastic surgeons through the years. Your skincare routine is most efficacious in the evening, and your skin responds most in the evening. If you start doing a heavy skincare routine in the morning under your makeup probably won't last nearly as long. So if you're still doing serums in the morning, eye creams in the morning, anything that's giving you lots of hydration, your skin is thanking you and it appreciates it, but your makeup's not thanking you because your makeup's going to break down. I was taught when I started in this industry, I really fell into learning about theater and film makeup because I was looking for a makeup course, but I wasn't looking for theater and film, but it was the only makeup course that was available at School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. And what I learned was if you need your makeup to stay and last all day, you have to do it on a dry, matte skin. No serums, no emollients, nothing, because that breaks down makeup. And so when I worked in TV and film and theater, I did makeup on dry skin because it held up under hot lights for many hours, but it felt horrible. And if you came close, it looked horrible. Thank God they didn't right. have HD in the day I was doing it. But they truly, like, we got away with murder. I'll never forget the day everything changed to HD. I was like, no, don't do it. But yeah. I would have talent say to me, oh my God, like, this is hurting. Like, you know, I hope you have more than makeup in your kit. I hope you have some spackle. And that's how Spackle Under Makeup Primer was born in the late 1990s. And now we make a primer for every skin condition and skin tone because our primers don't penetrate the skin. They hover. I worked with a lab to create something that like resurfaced the skin. So if you really want your makeup to look good, you should use primer. It doesn't have to be mine.
You know what? Okay. So admittedly, I am not a primer girl. And I always thought like, what's the point of primer? And
yeah, it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. And, you know, yeah. And we've had artists come on this podcast that are like, that swear by primers. And then some that are just like, you have to prep your skin correctly.
Oh, what did they say? What are they saying?
So, you know, Mario Dedivanovic, Makeup by Mario.
Yes. Know him well.
He's great, right? And he's really interesting. He's like, you know, if you're prepping your skin the proper way, you don't need a primer. And I think it kind of fits into your point, Laura, of if you're not putting a ton of skincare, there's a right way to do skincare under makeup, and then there's a wrong way. If you're doing your like 6, 12, whatever step routine that you have going that you think you need, you're probably not going to like the result of your makeup. And as someone that has combination skin, I'm really oily in my T-zone and then dry on the sides. I have now, when I start doing makeup, really pare it back. Like, even if I know that like I'm getting ready later in the day and the sun's going to be kind of down by the time I leave the house, I'm not putting on sunscreen because I feel like that's just like another layer of something that's going to move around.
I feel the same way. Mm-hmm.
Right? When Sarah and I, you know, interview artists about red carpets and stuff, like, how are you prepping Emma Stone's skin or whoever's skin? And they're like giving us like just the most basic, minimal skincare. And I'm like, wait, no sunscreen or protection for like harsh lights or anything? They're like, what are you talking about? No, it's like, I would never do that. So, and we're like, oh, no sunscreen. It's like the most important thing
know,
to us,
I
you know,
know?
But
know.
It makes sense. It makes sense. And so this is such divine timing because like I've been on this journey where it's like, okay, we got to minimize the skincare in the AM when I'm first doing my makeup so that it not only lasts, but looks good. But then that's why primers exist. Primers exist to hold the makeup on. And that's the benefit of using a primer. It's not just like another thing that you need to add to your 12-step routine.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I literally just texted Daniel Martin. I like rediscovered the Tatcha primer and I used it. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how good this product is. And I forgot also like what a difference it makes to use a primer. Because then I was the same way. I mean, I'm just like, we don't really need this. It's fine, whatever. And I'm like, oh no, actually this works. Yeah. So I need to try the Laura Geller primers. So you said there's one for different skin types and skin tone.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what you're trying to do. So we have a blurring one. We have a hydrating one. Then we have ones that are tinted with a little bit of bronze or champagne. But to your point, Kerb, I have to just say, when you're doing that many things to your skin is reactive. And so just minimize your routine. It's okay. Believe me, I don't care if you do a moisturizer, but you got to do a primer. And I will say not all primers are created equal. That Tatcha primer is insane. It's so good. I know, I mean, Vicky Tsai was a friend. So I know Vicky, but that's a good primer. I'm just going to say that like not all primers are created equal because the truth is when I created it, I had to crack the code with our R&D lab that this was going to hover and not break down and act as a magnet. And I think everybody's saying, oh, we make a primer and not everybody is doing that. There are some and they're usually brands that are on the cutting edge or brands that focus on makeup too that understand that. but not everybody's doing that. And Kirby, to your point, I also still am telling people today, I know it seems like another gimmick and it's another thing you have to do. And then you're feeling like you're adding another layer to your face. So it should be very lightweight. If it starts to pill on your face and it feels heavy, stay away from it. I'm telling you, it's supposed to be so imperceptible that you don't even know you're wearing it.
Totally. That's maybe why I love my best makeup is when I maybe just use a serum and not even a moisturizer on my skin. Like not an oil serum, not like anything, but like truly just like maybe an antioxidant serum or something that's maybe a little hydrating.
That's good.
That might act as a primer in a certain way, but like at least it lets my makeup set nicely and like apply nicely on the skin.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. Stuff moves, but you know, okay, hold on. We've waxed poetic about the primer, and the Spackle primer is like the OG, like iconic, like imitated, but never duplicated primer. But the baking of it all. Okay, so powder foundation. I remember maybe a year ago, I told Sarah, I was like, I will never wear a powder foundation again. Like these people cannot get me to wear a powder foundation. Like I will never do it. I'm obsessed with powder foundations now. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, they're easy. They're quick.
They're so quick. But Laura, I remember being scared that because I'm developing, you know, the crow's feet and the lines under the eyes, that like it was just going to make me look decrepit. Like I don't want to look like the crypt keeper. So what's the key to using something powdery on your face as you're aging and noticing these changes to your skin? Like, do you have any tips for that?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I will tell you at a certain point in your life, you will no longer want to be using powder. You'll be like, no, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
I think the beauty of being my age, one of the benefits of getting older is that I did makeup when I was 18 and now I'm 65. And I understand what 20s need, 30s need, 40s need. I totally get it. Like I remember doing makeup and women would start to perspire because they were having a hot flash. And I'd be like, oh, I just finished her makeup. Now she's sweating. I'm like, oh. And of course, now I understand, you know, when you make makeup for someone who's going through, who's menopausal, you need to worry about like, will this start to look orange because the oils and the perspiration are coming off? Is it going to break down? And I love powders. Frankly, I think they get a bad rap. And I think some people do powder really well. And I think people can wear them. But imagine powder mixed with just antioxidants and hydration and nothing else, like none of the bad stuff. I cracked that code and I didn't even try. By the way, I didn't make the formula. So what happened was, I know I'm being honest. It was over two decades ago, QVC, because I'm on QVC for 27 years. I'm the longest standing color brand there. Kept saying to me, what's new? What do you have to launch something new? I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what else to give you. And I opened my drawer and I had this bronzer that was had all these different pigments in it. And I had been using it for like 2 years. It didn't even make a dent in it. I was like, what is this thing that I put on? And I look so darn good and it's powder and it's easy. And I tracked down who sent it to me and the manufacturer that the distributor that represented the manufacturer. I contacted, I said, what is this stuff I'm using that you sent me? It's like a beautiful bronzer. He said, that's not bronzer. I said, well, what is it? He said, that's foundation for women of color. I said, oh, I was using it as a bronzer. He said, no, it's a dark foundation. So he said, I think I need to like take you to this factory in Italy. I'm like, twist my arm. And he took me and now they don't let you in. And when I saw the process, I launched that one bronzer, by the way. That was the first item I ever launched that was baked. And I launched it as a bronzer. One color, by the way. And it worked for almost porcelain through deep for almost every skin color. I couldn't believe how laborious the process was, you gals. Like, it is painstaking what they do. Now you'll never know. They won't let you in the factory. I'm like, I was the original. Let me back in there. And by the way, they made baked. I saw Chanel being made in their factory. So I was like, Chanel comes here and they don't even talk about it? Like, I get to talk about it. I have a platform. And that's how the whole baked came out. So I think if you like the feeling of a powder and doing something quick, you'll like something that's baked only because it's color corrective too. And it has tons of antioxidants in it. So it's good for your skin.
Does the application also matter in terms of like how much you're putting on so that you aren't you know, having it settle into your lines? Like, what is the trick there?
With powders or with my baked?
Well, let's talk about with your baked first.
I think it's versatile. So it gives you natural coverage. Although we do have a baked foundation called Double Take Baked. That's a wet dry, and that has more coverage. Our famed legendary foundation is Balance and Brighten. When you put it on with a brush, it gives natural coverage, very natural, and people love that. But if you have hyperpigmentation, rosacea, capillaries around your nose or even on your face, you can use a denser brush and you will get more coverage. And people don't understand that. So it's the amount of density that the brush picks up from the product. If you use a loose powder brush, it's just going to sort of be like a, maybe even a finishing powder to your favorite foundation, which is not a bad thing.
Like a little halo.
Like a
little halo.
Exactly.
Love that. No, I'm on your website. And yeah, the Baked Balance and Brighten Color Correcting Foundation, number one foundation for mature skin. It has over 34,000 reviews on your website.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that.
I mean, those are numbers you see on Amazon because they're all bots. Like, this is crazy that on your D2C, like your .com, you have that many reviews on that foundation.
I didn't even know that. Well, it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
Sarah's oh my God.
I mean,
no, I had to go on the website too. And I'm just like reading all the statistics as well.
Amazon just told us that we were the number one foundation that comes to Amazon for mature skin Balance and Brighten.
Yeah. And look, Baked to Go Balance and Brighten, they're over 30,000 reviews. I mean, this is bonkers, Laura. This is crazy.
Oh my God, that is.
Yeah, you can't pay that many people to try to leave a review. This is incredible.
Oh, it's really funny. I didn't even know that. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Of course, we love doing things in real time. So let's go back to 1993. Okay. Listen, I feel like I love doing my hair, but it is very time consuming. Like, you have to set aside a time. It affects my entire schedule. If I
yes.
have work to do and then I want to go to the gym and then I need to take a shower. I don't know how the working mother does it, a la Sarah, but even for me as a singular woman with a dog, it's hard to find the time. But
you have to like work backwards. You're like, I have this event on Tuesday, which
right.
means I need to wash my hair on Monday night, which means then I have to do my workout that morning. It's just like, it's too much.
It is too much. But we are grateful for products that make it a little bit easier.
Yes. Okay. On the frizz front, which we know that I have been struggling because of these baby hairs that are sprouting out, I'm so grateful for Way's anti-frizz creme. It is a beautiful product. I have been using it and it's been saving me time because it does it all. It provides that immediate frizz control and it lasts for 72 hours, which is incredible. It helps reduce and repair my split ends. And according to Consumer Perception Study, which I am included in that, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. There's tons of other Way products that we are devoted to.
Put a dollar in the jar every time I talk about the detox shampoo. That is the best shampoo of all time.
You should put your face on it, like a
no,
sticker on it, because I do think of you when I use it.
I love it. It's thick. You don't need a lot of it. You lather it up nicely in your palm. You put it on your head. It makes your hair clean, your scalp clean, but it's not too clean feeling, which,
yep.
you know. I don't want to feel like squeaky clean. That's not the vibe I'm trying to get off.
Exactly. So pick up that shampoo, pick up the anti-frizz creme and get 15% off. So go to theway.com, that's theouai.com and enter promo code GLOSS for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code GLOSS.
Little baby Laura's just, you know, living it up in New York City. You were, as you mentioned, theatrical makeup, like learning the ropes. And then you're like, you know what? F it. I'm going to open my own boutique. Like, this is what's happening. Take us back. What was the beauty landscape like in 1993? Granted, Sarah and I were literally, how old are we? Like 6, 5. We were children.
Uh-oh.
So you have to really set the scene for us. Like, the landscape is just so different, like now from 10 years ago. What was it like in 1993?
Well, what happened with me was I had avoided opening a boutique. I was a makeup artist, not a business person. And I was like renting space in salons and clothing boutiques. And I was amassing this clientele all while still doing private TV shoots, some theater, some film. And then I would rent a little space and people would come to me before their parties, lots of parties in New York. I had all those socialites. I had many of the housewives. They were customers, especially the New York housewives. I mean, many of them were customers of mine. And they also would hire me to come to their house and do their makeup. And then it became like, wow, I need to hire you for my daughter's wedding, my son's wedding, a bar mitzvah, christening. Like, I was so busy running, and I would then start hiring people to go out and do people for their weddings. And it became like the demand was so overwhelming. It was like, build it and they will come. They were like, what are you doing in the back of this clothing boutique on the West Side? Or like, I was in Hell's Kitchen in New York, which is like was not a good area. I took an apartment. I thought, wow, that's business, you know? And I built a formica table with mirror and lights, and people had to come to 8th Avenue. And they were like, I never come to 8th Avenue unless I come with my driver to go to a Broadway show. This is scary. I don't like coming here. This is me. What are you talking about? Like, there's a doorman downstairs. They're like, no. And frankly, you'll come to my house next time. And so they were scared to come to Hell's Kitchen, but I could not have been busier. And so finally, after years of avoiding it, my clientele became really sort of a very affluent Upper East Side clientele. And it wasn't me. And I knew that I had to open a store on the Upper East Side. And I remember looking in a particular area that was a really beautiful Lexington Avenue in the 70s. It was just beautiful back in the day at lots of art galleries. And there was a store available for rent that was 550 square feet. But you can imagine, I was doing celebrities, journalists. I was working on shows that were like Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, and doing the head talent. So when I opened my store, they came and covered it. And I was slammed, and the store was too small. And I remember my father, may he rest in peace, coming with me to see the store and going, it's very small. And I go, Dad, it's a store on the ground floor on the Upper East Side. Like, I'm like, already that's like a big deal. He's like, you're going to outgrow this space. Sure enough, I opened this store and I outgrew it the minute I opened it. There was only one private makeup room. Then there was like a big counter where you could sit and do your makeup, but everybody wanted a private room. And they all talked about each other, the socialites. They would be like, is Pat here? I'd be like, no, she's coming in later. Oh, is she going to the party at the Met? I'm like, I don't know where she's freaking going. You know, they wanted scoop from me and what ladies told me. And by the way, they would tell me about their affairs because frankly, they knew their secret was safe with me. Because I couldn't remember. And frankly, I didn't care. I was so busy. I wasn't really even thinking it was juicy. I was like, all right, you talk. Let me just finish your makeup. And so they'd come for an hour to have their makeup done. And boy, did I get the scoop on them. And the husband's playing golf. And who's coming to me before her golf game? And then the other one who was like, oh, let me guess. Was Lois in here earlier? Is she going to the golf pageant? I'm like, first of all, I don't even know. And what I would say, like, yeah, she was here. Uh-huh. I bet she was, you know, that kind of thing. They wanted to do a show. They did a sizzle reel. They wanted to do a show from my makeup.
I was going to say, oh my God, this is giving the Swans.
They wanted me to expose my, and I couldn't.
Yeah, you are a professional. If those walls could talk.
Oh, you have no idea. I want to write a book, but I have to wait till people pass.
Yeah.
Because even if I change the names, I have to protect the guilty.
Willing people's deaths so we can get this book on the shelves.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is that terrible?
Hurry
it
up.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm telling you. So I opened this door, and then one day, Ann Schnessel, my client, whose husband owned the land but didn't give me a break, is pointing to me. I'm looking outside. I'm so busy. I'm opening the gates in the morning, closing them at night. I didn't even know they had electric gates. I didn't have money to install them. She calls me outside and she shows me the store next to me. And she says, it's available. I said, I just opened the freaking store. I borrowed money from my best friend, my Uncle Morris. I said, my cousin Ivy, I don't have money to pay for another store. She goes, you better take that store. She said, you have a success on your hands. So I took it. And I was undercapitalized and in a lot of debt. And I had to make the store look like one, like redo it again. And it became the Cheers of the Upper East Side. That's what they used to call it. Like we would get coverage and they'd be like, people come in just to talk about like the events they're going to. And if like, oh, her daughter's wedding's the same day. And like, but ours is at the Pierre. And then, no, but that mine's at the Fenway Golf Country Club. You should do mine. You know, it was hysterical. And I had the store for 21 years.
Laura, did you have, you had people helping you. You had like other makeup artists, obviously, but then people were fighting to have you do their makeup for their daughter's wedding and whatnot.
Yeah, they wanted me. And, you know, I was only like, what it was, maybe only charging $100 extra. I didn't know better that I could charge more. Like I wasn't a businesswoman. I had no business. Even like I made it up as I went. Like, here's a perfect example. I made the prices up for my products and Sephora came to me in 2005 and they were like, we want to talk to you about putting your brand in our store. I'm like, you're kidding. And they were like, no, spackle is the most searched word on our .com and we need to find out. So I flew to San Francisco with the gal who was my bookkeeper. I called her my manager. I like changed the hat like for a different role because I only had a few people working. And they were like, we want to put you in our stores, but your prices are too cheap. You have to charge more. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you're charging like $15 for like a spackle. Like we won't sell it, but you have to charge more. And so I couldn't because I was on QVC with those prices. So
yeah.
I didn't make much money. I had low margins. I didn't know how to do it. So it took a long time till I got level set and was able to bring my, and still my prices are so competitive because of that to this day. They're less expensive than any brand.
Wait, okay. That kind of just illuminated something for me. Pricing is such an interesting conversation within the beauty world. And now I'm thinking, oh, duh. So the way you price your product, like before you're in a like a retailer, you have to kind of mark it up so that you are able to actually make money. Because the goal is if you do ever want to sell your brand, you have to go into a retailer. You know, we talk a lot about like what Sephora does for marketing, what Ulta does for sales and things of that nature, or, you know, QVC, like getting to the mass amount of people. So it's interesting. Now I have a little bit of a different perspective on like, why things are priced the way they are. You're teaching us something new. I love this. This is great.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That's so nice to hear. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, if I was just distributing on my own DTC, which by the way, they didn't have then, or just my store, I wouldn't need to mark it up because I'm not sharing a portion of the profits. But if you're going into store, you can be sure if you're going into a big box store that they're taking, I don't want to mention the percentage, but they're your partner.
Right.
We have so much respect for you, the fact that you wanted to keep the prices low. And I know you say that you didn't know, but also you like had a customer base that was used to paying that price and you wanted to like honor that. So that's really, really, that's incredible. And obviously you're still successful today. So you did the right thing. So you talk a lot about like, you didn't know what you were doing. You were sort of like making it up, but clearly you had some sort of strategy or, you know, even though you say you're not a business person, you still like you knew what you were doing. You had your one store, then you built your other store. You built more makeup rooms. You had some knowledge of like how to build this business. And you did this when you were in your 30s.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was the right time for you? Kirby and I, we're in our late 30s.
You look good, kids. Shoot.
Thank you.
You look good.
So sweet. Thank you. But do you feel like this was something that you couldn't have done in your 20s? Like, did, you know, being in your 30s inform you about cosmetics in a way that you feel like you wouldn't have been ready earlier on in your career?
100,000%. Listen, I think people jump too quick. They start a brand. They're starting to think, oh, I want to sell it. Oh, why? I need to put it up for sale. And I'm like, you haven't even begun to experience the world you're living in, the space you're living in. I would have never understood the demand and how to create a niche space. Where do I fit in? Like everybody, like I used to mentor for Cosmetic Executive Women, which is a wonderful organization. And at one time we would do this, what do you call that? Speed dating. And you'd sit at a table and young brand founders were coming who, or ones that had ideas. And I got to tell you, I'd go from table to table respectfully. And people would be like, yeah, I'm starting a skincare line. I'd be like, you're kidding. Like, tell me what's your, give me your 60 second elevator pitch. What's your point of difference? Well, it's all natural. It's sustainable. And there's no fragrance. And I'm like, and what's the point of difference? They're like, yeah, that. I'm like, have you done your homework? Because about every other person I know has exactly what you're talking about. So I think until you understand where you belong and fit in, you should be putting the cart before the horse to sell, to open a store. And it, by the way, this is not just for beauty. It's for any service or product that you're going to offer. And I think learning and working with the, you know, people, the end user is what taught me. I didn't make it up in my head. I know what she needs. She told me what she needs. And that's how I was able to cater to her and give her what she wanted. And so I think you need experience. 20s doesn't bring you that experience yet. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I think Sarah and I could have an entire dissertation of what does not count as a point of differentiation anymore. And especially in 2024, just based on our emails in one day. The same type of pitches, the same type of buzzwords, the same call outs in a subject line. Clean. Like clean is like probably the number one.
Genderless.
And at one point it used to be like ingredients. So like CBD, remember like in 2020, CBD and everything. And this is that. And now like CBD basically is like RIP CBD, truly. There's only a few brands that really get it right in skincare and that are still using it in skincare because of all the regulation around it, you know?
That's so true.
But it's crazy. It's like changed.
And I think everybody is doing it. I'm not being mean, but I think they see the acquisitions and the M&A is the industry long after I started became hot and became a thing. And everybody's looking for that. Listen, that's the ultimate American dream. Let's face it. I mean, you build a business and hope that someone buys it. But I know because if you don't have something different, and by the way, people who are acquiring your brand love a founder story. So it's not just the brand. It's what is the founder story? They're captivated if they know something about you that sets you apart. And what is it about your ethos and who you are? And they're going to come to you first for that and then the brand. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who I was talking to the other day. Oh, I know, a talent agent who's trying to develop a brand for a woman who's on TV. I don't know this woman, but apparently she's on TV. And he wants to develop a brand for her and put it on TV to sell. And he came to me for advice because I've been on shopping television for a long time. And my first question was, does she love people? Does she love her customers? Does she know who they are? Does she identify with them? Will they identify with her? When she speaks, will they say, oh, I'm speaking to my good friend? He's like, wait a minute. Whoa. He goes, no, we have this great product line. It's like a lifestyle brand. I'm like, you're missing my whole point. Like, if you're a founder-owned brand, you better be doing it because you want to help people and you genuinely care. And then the money will come. But don't do it the opposite way.
Yeah. I mean, I wish everybody had that perspective. And maybe our inboxes wouldn't be as clogged as they are. Because I do think that there are just a lot of brands out there that have no direction. They don't have any really differentiating aspect to them. And even with these celebrity brands, you know, we see a lot of them launch and there are some that put in a lot of work and then there's some that kind of just show up for the photo shoots and the public appearances and they don't really, we don't see them using the product as much. There's so many different facets to it. But
yeah, that's true.
I'm curious. So we love behind the scenes details.
I know you guys do.
We love a little tea, if you will. Do you have any fun stories you can share?
Yeah, you can be gossip columnist too, by the way. Did I tell you that again? Like, you could be gossip columnists. I'm not even kidding. The two of you are so dangerous.
Thank you.
You can be our correspondent because you're the one who has the gossip.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So, I mean, I have some crazy stories, and only because I'm always getting in trouble, because it's just, that's who I am. And sometimes, like, I work on talent and I don't even know who they are. And respectfully, something just happened recently. It was a New York Fashion Week and we did a big fashion show. And the designer, I'll say her name, Batsheva, was doing the show for women over 40. So everybody who walked the show was over 40. And we were the makeup brand of choice. And so when I got there, behind the scenes, all the makeup artists are working. I'm talking to all the makeup artists, the hair people, taking pictures with them. And then Sarah goes, oh, go over there, take a picture with Molly. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I put my hand around her and I walk back and I'm like, who's Molly? She's like, that's Molly Ringwald. I'm like, oh, okay. How would I have known? She doesn't look like she did 20 years ago. I didn't recognize her. And so I think the celebrities love me because I didn't even like know who people were, like, and I didn't really care. And they were a face and I got to make them up and I want to talk to them and be friendly. But Molly was so friendly to me. And then there was another actress. I don't know her name. It was a weird name. Iona Sky. Same. I'm like, they were like, she stars in blah, blah, blah. I'm like, first of all, I never heard of that. So I'll give you something that happened to me. I worked for Entertainment Tonight, the New York chapter. So we're like when Mary Hart and John Tesh would come in, I would do their makeup. But also when a correspondent had to interview a celebrity in New York, I was the one they called to go make up that celebrity. So I got a call that Gene Simmons was coming into town. They wanted me to go make up Gene Simmons. Now, I didn't listen to Kiss. I didn't like rock music. I was a disco queen. So if you would have told me that like Teddy Pendergrass was coming in, I would have been like, okay. And I would have told you everything about Teddy. But they said, go do. So I was telling people I'm doing Gene Simmons. Is there anything you could tell me? And they know me. So they were like, just ask him to stick out his tongue. I'm like, what? They're like, just ask him to stick out his tongue. So Kiss was known for their tongue. They stuck out their tongue. Maybe, I don't know if the other guys did it. Well, I know Gene Simmons did it. He had a very long tongue. And by the way, who cares? So I go to the hotel to do Gene Simmons and I'm making him up. And it's not when they're doing that painted face. They stopped doing it. And Shannon Tweed, his wife, but she wasn't his wife at the time, came in. She was pregnant. And I could see that he knew that I didn't know anything about Kiss. And I think he was getting a kick out of it. And he was testing me. And he was like, so you do a lot of rock stars? This is me. No, never. I'm just doing you. And I'm like, but I'm supposed to ask you to stick out your tongue? And he was dying. So he was like, yeah. And he stuck it out. I was like, oh, no. And he wouldn't let me go when I was done with the makeup. He was going to do a concert at a concert hall in New York with Paul Stanley and the other guys. And I don't know if you know these guys that I'm talking about because they're older right now. But so he goes, you're going to come with us, right? I said, no, I was just hired to come to the hotel to do your makeup. I'm leaving. He goes, no, you're not leaving. He hired me for comedy relief. I'm telling you, he didn't need me. He loved me like, I don't know. I was like his little sister. So I had to sit in the front of the limo and he called me Disco. That was my nickname because he was like, what kind of music do you like listen to? I'm like, Disco. And he was like, Disco, come here. So he got a bunch of girls in the limo and they're all looking at me like, what's she doing there in the front seat? And then we get to the place and I'm wearing my plastic shoes that like smoke up. Like if I'm hot, like I was very disco back then. I had to run up fire escapes in the back of the building. And the girls are like, are you excited? I'm like, not at all. I want to get out of here. They're like, you should be so excited. He wants you to be with him. I'm like, I want to go home. And they're giving me the cotton to put in my ears. And I'm backstage. So every time Gene came into town, I was his makeup artist. That was one story. I won't bore you with the others, but took up.
What an incredible story. Also, it must be so much fun to be in your chair.
It is kind of fun a little bit. Not for nothing.
And I love, like, let it be known, Laura Geller was not impressed with Gene Simmons' tongue.
No, why? Who cares? By the way, do you need it? Do you need a long tongue, Sarah?
No, I'm good.
No. All right, you're good.
I was like, why would they ask you to say that to him? Like, I get it. It's his thing.
Because they know I'm naive and they knew that it would get me in trouble.
But I would be so uncomfortable to be like, can you stick out your tongue?
Oh, see, I wasn't uncomfortable at all.
With his baby mama like standing right there, that's hilarious.
Oh, no, she left the room. She was out of the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so she didn't witness this?
No, she did not witness it. And they can smell when you're either a fan or you don't know better.
Yeah. Right. Totally.
He was getting a kick out of it.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great story.
Yeah, no. And then Brooke Shields, I made up once. I'll tell you that very quickly. I finished her makeup and I went like that to her brows. This was in the 80s when she was known for her brows. And she looked at me when I was done and she was like, can I have the brow brush? And I was like, yeah. And then she took a mirror and she like combed each hair like it was like each little hair. And then she handed me back the brow brush like, it's my brows that I'm here for.
Yeah.
And you didn't spend a second on them. And I was like, ooh, sorry. Okay.
She's like, Laura, this is my moneymaker. Hello. The brows. It's like.
But she was very sweet. And now later in life, her kids went to the same school as my son.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's very friendly, very nice. Full circle.
You know, we have a lot of founders and, you know, people up and coming in the business who listen to the podcast. And as a veteran in the industry and as someone who has seen it all, what do you think needs to change about the current state of the beauty industry?
I think what has to change is that we need true experts in the industry, and not everybody is an expert. And I think that it's saturated. I think we're confusing her. I think we have to stream things down. You don't have to be everything to everybody. You have to know your demographic and lean into your demographic and stop trying to be everything to everybody, which is something we did 3 years ago. And so, you know, learn who is your end user. Create something different, find out where the white space is. And just because you're a celebrity, respectfully, it doesn't mean your name has to go on everything. You know, stand for who you are and what you do. And, you know, maybe don't be such a haza. You know, you don't know that word, but look it up. It's like you can't grab it all. You can't do it all.
Sage advice from Laura Deller. Okay, so it's National Mature Women's Day and you have a campaign, Own Your Age. Tell us a little bit more about this. I mean, it seems obvious, like you coined this holiday. You've always been focused on women 40 plus in terms of who you are creating products for. But what's Own Your Age?
So Own Your Age is, you know, finally embracing the lines when you smile around your eyes. The fact that your nose got wider, the fact that your skin is drier, the fact that you have jowls, and stop trying to cover it or change it and enhance it instead. And so we really speak to the things you should be doing and the formulas you should be wearing. And we created a kit that works for most skin tones and most ages. And we did a campaign with a very famous hysterical comedian. And if you know the Progressive commercials, we did a whole spoof on that with Leanne Morgan. And it is hilarious. And I think it'll give people, women, especially after 40, a chance to laugh at themselves and say, all right, I got to stop trying to make myself up the way I did when I was two decades younger. And so I think that's what we're trying to stand for. We want to make it fun and funny and lighthearted and not to take yourself too seriously. And then on, and if you're listening to this on April 9th, we're doing an age-based discount because we registered National Mature Women's Day. So if you put in your age of 60, you'll get 60% off. If you're 70, you get 70% off. You get the idea.
Wow. If you're 100 years old listening to this, get on there.
That's right.
Get on there, sister. Get on there.
One day only. One day only.
One day only. Wow.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
This is the third year we're doing it. And let me tell you, we have to prep for this because we are slammed.
I'm sure. Laura, we really appreciate you spending some time with us today, especially on National Mature Women's Day. Where can everybody find you and see you? because we know that you are on QVC. Where can we find you online?
Yes. So lauragellar.com. I mean, I have tons of videos there and lots of education there. We even have a shade fonder on our site. So if that's something you need help with, we will help you. And then a Laura Geller Beauty for Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And then if you want to come to me, because I have very few followers, because I don't know how to do all this stuff, Laura J. Geller.
Get over to Laura J. Geller.
Yeah. Follow me. Yeah. Let's get me up to a number that's respectable. I'm embarrassed.
Don't you worry, Laura. We'll get you there. Nothing to be embarrassed about, but we will go to Laura J. Geller.
Yeah, my son said I should have somebody else doing it and that I should have a whole, he makes fun of every post I put up. Who's looking at that? You think anybody's going to read that? He's 24.
All right.
Okay, hater. We didn't know any children that are haters.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to lift up Laura. Laura, yeah. We adore you. You're fabulous.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing just your entire brain with our audience, because it's just so fun to talk to you.
It was a pleasure. And honestly, you guys need to take this show on the road or sell this damn podcast, because you're so darn good. You interviewed me like I forgot we were doing a podcast. I'm just saying.
Oh,
we're trying, Laura. From your lips to God's ears.
Well, you don't have to try hard, honey. Just do what you're doing, because you figured it out.
Oh, thanks, Laura.
My pleasure. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Mwah to everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.